5'4". He has wet feet, in wet socks, in wet Reebok Classics. He has smelly pits, BO mixed with Lynx, and stale, mouldy, sweet, smoky boy stink. He has fluffy stubble, but his sideburns and his beard don't meet and never will. He has a painful zit on his lip and a stitch and a sudden sense of, oh no, what in the ever-loving fuck am I? He has a scar in his crotch from an operation to bring down an escapé testicle. He hasn't washed for 6 days. He doesn't brush his teeth. He doesn't wipe his bum properly, so his boxers are skiddy. This is not too much information. There's no such thing as too much information, because this is what matters about him now, if we are to believe in him, if we want him to believe in himself. He is a complex system of flesh and not flesh. He's not painted boards on the wall. He is sicky burps and hurt. He is the state of things in dream and the agony of waking. He is brutal bothness tearing at the prison of the skin he's in. He's a pissed off young man not realizing that he is consciousness afloat, like a drop of water momentarily reflecting the whole wide world, permanently being the whole held world. He is an everyday ghost. He is fiction. He is pure artificiality, but true as any mind with no edges. He's a teenage boy in 1995, standing in the frightened novelist's bare evocation of night, deciding whether or not to take his own life. He is standing in a warehouse, spleen buzzing right by the speakers, listening to the music that the only thing he truly loves, and there's a noise like a helicopter blade. And it's the tune, and it's the drugs, and it's the joy, and it's the anger, and it's the future violently distributed through him like a shattered drum break. He's a blindfolded work in progress. He's a roached revision card upon which the written fact is that he is made of the same stuff as stars, that dinosaurs sipped him, that someone not yet born will drink him and then piss him. He's been edited and revised to within an inch of his life. He's a matter of fact. He doesn't add up. He is pure anguish. He has parents. He has stories clinging to him, suffocating him, pestering at his eyes and mouth, buzzing about him in the made-up light like a million hungry midges. He is edgeless experiment, leveled, translated from a hunch. He's an essay, a letter, a hybrid tantrum. He is form. He's a cross little bastard. He is white supremacy's clueless beneficiary. He is spoiled, spoiling, wobbling, roiling in the boiling inland sea of his depression, his rotten luck, his advantage, his spiraling unease, his weight, his hope, decay. He has an ingrowing toenail. It really hurts. He doesn't yet have bladder cancer, but he will in a few hundred thousand pages' time if we carry on at the speed of thought, which he has paused because he's extremely stoned. He is from everywhere all at once and hasn't a clue. He's in 1807, fearful his mind. The devil is in his breast. Melancholy, distress, labelled manic, given psalms, told to rest. He is Uncle Martin's last words in 13 years from now, in Beach Coppice palliative care, holding hands with Claire, saying, so it goes, for my gravestone, so it goes, in Gill Sands, please. At the very least, a smart, generic, elegant sans serif, and chips in the pub. Not terrible tuna sandwiches in the smelly church hall. Claire? Claire? He is his stepdad 4 years back saying, don't be a Jimmy Bighead. Don't do acid. Don't hurt people. Don't believe in the inevitability of war. Don't behave badly in foreign bars. Don't, whatever you fucking do, get one of those hole-in-the-earlobe piercings. He is his great-great-grandson trying to be brave in a crisis, alone with his character inheritance, awkwardness, like a trickster compass leading him around and around and around the baffled, ill-fitting puzzle of himself. He is shingle underfoot, shoulder blade fracture, shifty little break-time Pritzik, Nick, aren't you? He's the school counsellor's Nescafe breath, covering the whole sentence. Breathe up, five fingers. Breathe down, five fingers. He is fight or flight, he is neither in the night. He has been turned into a bollard by a pixelated wizard. He is sitting cross-legged on Mars, age 7 in 1936, lifting the lino tile. Peel, gluey, creak, drop, click, tap. He is lifting the new lino tile. Peel, gluey, creak, drop, click, tap. Stop that! He looks down and... for a minute, for a shocked instant, the word for grass has become the same as the word for foot. And the ripples of Alzheimer's miraculous mirroring fuses his past and his hopeless present, and he is washed in the instant, hopeless present, enlightened, silent, washed in the instant, hopeless Claire. He was explaining something to the nice lady, Claire, about gravestones and typefaces. He is the split-second thought, this is bad, this is broken bone, as he falls from a tree in 2 summers hence. He is the ache in the bone 38 years later, as a new baby niece sleeps in the safety of his crossed arms, resting on the pot belly, which is 9,342 pints of Guinness. He is weight, he is notice, he is sell, he is tumble, he is sprung obliviousness, bad decisions, a queue of mistakes, the naked idea of forgiveness, startled by risk. He doesn't yet envy people with faith, but he will. He has not yet mocked them to gain slight social traction with shitty friends, but he will. He has not yet lost the person he loves most in this world, but he will. Again and again, because that is the glitched script for him. His eternal receptiveness to this specific hurt, which he has not yet wondered if he deserves. He is the idea of a person who walks into water with stones in their pockets, but he is paused just before that, which is why the spirits of others cut into him with such bravado tonight. A grumpy ghost, a chatty badger, a building's sticky, uncanny, peeled up off the floor of his half-sleep like a new lino tile. Creak, click, stop that. That's someone else's memory. He is shambolic like the sickening ash that watches him wade through the night, watching personhood on the brink. Human or tree, it's because he feels so strange and so awake that he realizes he's not alone. He is we. Stop that! Stop that, my love, please. These are pills for people that are dying. These are pills your granny took when she was dying. Why do you need pills like these? Talk to me! He is stuck with his Egyptian model homework. He's 50 fucking six. He hasn't had homework for 40 years. It's tax bill time. Tax bills trigger homework dreams. And homework dreams are... mod rock and poster paint and orange squash, pop-up horrible history, lateral mystery, night terror, beta blockers, echo chamber, sad child in a stink. He slams his face on the sink, smash expecting shattered bones, sharp nothing, but the porcelain death is cotton soft. It's a pillow and it smells of him, and he wakes up gasping in his bedroom. Trials of life poster, childish yelp, scalp burning, heart step, two shat popping in his chest. Blam blam, clack clack, fucking hell, what was that? Blam blam, clack clack, slap the wall, heart attack, I'd rather die, I just can't handle this. But he is interested, secretly, in why he is death-steered, same as Daddy. Peering into the tomb, labelling things, unwrapping bodies. He's a cutesy illustration of this, hieroglyphic ink stamp sets. He is in the car, sick. He's reading this to his grandson. He's in his granddad's car. He's trying to coax him in from the dark. He is old flesh. He's the smell of bog body on the memory. He's the threat of the bog to the body, not yet in it. And Sophie Lazenby on the bus home from Durdle Door shouting, which of you snazzy little year 10 pricks is wearing his simiaki ball on? He is the illness he will die of. He's the daughter home to nurse him, not yet born. He's an anticonvulsant, a serum, a powder for fungal infections. He's choking to death on a Strepsil until Bory Garing Norton in finance whacks him on the back. Bloody hell, mate! He's a Quaker in a traffic jam in 1958. He's taking his mother for granted. He is crusty yellow limestone yawning into the shape of a hill as harder flint nestles in beneath. Rub along for 1,200, 1,000, million, no such thing as years. Let the water in, little temporary thing. He cannot sing. He has the special talent of being ignored by bar staff. He is invisible. He could see right through himself for a split second just now. He could have seen what he was. But he was busy living, clicking on forgotten password on Ocado.com, so he fucking missed it. There's a... on the plastic box in which he is encased, vulnerable, awaiting diagnostic language or destiny. At 30 days old, his dad drums a rhythm on the plastic and says, "What ails you, little human?" There is a patterned thunk thunk on the box as all of us wait for news. "He is a microbiological zoo," says the consultant, "hovering between what we don't know about swine flu and what we do know about meningitis." He's a very lucky boy. He's had a good long life. He's a spoiled sexist brat. He's a tiny little dying human. He might, if he's lucky, learn earthliness and serve its ends and feel its arms about him like a friend. Someone is holding his hand. He's being translated into mourning. He's a smelly teenager, depressed, standing in a field wondering if he wants to end his own life. A little helpless animal. That's what he is. That's why it matters. The handhold is the threshold, the relationship. The language of care is a whack about the head, or an imaginary badger, or a good teacher, or a serendipitous hiccup, or a kindly gesture, or a sheet of pure random luck, or a weird change in the thickness of the air, which is the tiny ordinary miracle that for now changes his mind, which for now is all there is.